CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. SpaceX is the story, but Bob Zimmerman is here to tell that story because it's Behind the Black's Happy Birthday, Bob Zimmerman fundraising for subscriptions for your donations. What Bob has to say about SpaceX is critical to understand when and if we're going to get to Mars. Was it successful? Well, it looks successful, but so your subscriptions and donations, most, most welcome. Bob, was it a success? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, what SpaceX was trying to do this week was to do a static fire test of the Super Heavy prototype number 7 that it hopes to use to launch Starship into orbit, hopefully in a month. And it's got 33 engines at its base. These are the Raptor 2 engines, each of which is the most powerful engine ever made. You've got 33 at the bottom of the rocket. You've got the most powerful rocket ever made by a good margin, more powerful than SLS by a lot, and more powerful than the Saturn V rocket by a lot. And they were going to fire all 33 engines and do a short static fire test. They weren't going to take off. They held down the rocket in place. And the test went off. And I've got the video live stream now, a recording on Behind the Black. But I've got a picture of the moment. They held the fire for 7 seconds. Of the 33 engines, one engine cut out prior to T-minus zero, and a second shut down prematurely during the test. So 31 engines fired for the full 7 seconds. That would have been enough to get Starship to the sufficient speed so it could then proceed into orbit. So this was, in that sense, a success. Now, what they do next is the question. Well, they're going to analyze the data, obviously. They're going to almost certainly take Super Heavy back to the assembly building to exchange out those two engines. And they'll have to decide whether they want to do another static fire test or whether they were ready to go to orbit, try to do an orbital flight. Now, they have to get an FCC approval. FAA approval for the launch license. And the FAA is basically says it's waiting for the data from this test before it can proceed and give the license. I would imagine this test is sufficient now to give that license, though I once again continue to hold I want to still hold the Biden administration's feet to the fire because the bureaucracy has tended to be much more difficult to work with since Biden was in charge. And so I wonder if they're going to be so easy to work with. Either way, if anything goes right, they want to do a launch, and it could be as early as March or maybe April. But this is going to happen, and it's going to happen very soon. And it's going to make SLS look bad.
Recover the mission, Bob. The mission is to put Starship into orbit for how long and to what end?
All right, so what will happen is this is a test launch. So Super Heavy Prototype 7 is not going to come back to the launch pad, as they plan to do routinely once this is operational. For this particular orbital flight, it will do a controlled landing in the Gulf of Mexico. They will be discarding it, but they will be controlling the landing to see if they can bring it down under control over water. That way there's no risks, and they can still test the controlling. So Starship will go into orbit. This is the 24th prototype. It will not do a full orbit. It will be in orbit, but they want to bring it down to the northeast of the Big Island of Hawaii over the ocean. Once again, they're not going to try to bring it down and recover it, at least not on land, because of safety reasons, the first time they're launching. So it'll do an almost complete orbit. It will be in orbit, but they will deorbit it before it completes the first orbit, and it'll come down in the ocean once again. I'm sure they're going to try to recover both of them in the ocean. But the real issue is going to be testing both the takeoff as well as the ability of Starship to come back to ground. It is designed, like the shuttle, to fly through with tiles, to fly through the atmosphere very fast and with heat to protect it. But unlike the shuttle, it won't come down on a runway. It's going to vertically land, like Falcon 9's first stage does and like Super Heavy will do. And so they're going to do, once again, a vertical landing over the ocean, try to do it controlled. So that's the plan. Once that flight happens, if it happens completely successful, they would then proceed to do another test flight because they've got new additional prototypes waiting in the wings in the assembly building. And Elon Musk has already said they could do as much as 5 launches this year, one right after the other, each one a test engineering launch to see how things go. If anything goes right on one launch, they will try to increase their capabilities the next. Like, for example, if everything goes perfectly, they might try to land Super Heavy on its launch pad. And that would involve using the chopsticks, where they would, it would come down hover at next to the tower, and the chopsticks will grab it, and then its engines will cut off. They might try to land Starship someplace, or keep it in orbit for a longer period of time. That's what later flights will do, John.
The SpaceX success is not matched by Blue Origin's New Glenn rocket. In fact, New Glenn troubles me because consistently it has not succeeded in testing anything. And now it's getting an award from NASA for what, Bob?
This is a great contrast in operations between Blue Origin and SpaceX. Both companies started development of their rockets at almost the exact same time. SpaceX not only has its Falcon 9 operating more than 200 launches, and they recover their first stage routinely, and they've got 3,000 satellites in orbit of their Starlink, but they're now, as we just discussed, they're about to be launching a heavy lift rocket that would be more superior to the Saturn V or the SLS rocket by exponential amounts, and they're actually about to test fly them. Blue Origin hasn't accomplished really much of anything. They have their little suborbital New Shepard rocket that's flown a bunch of times, but the New Glenn rocket, which is supposed to be orbital, which is supposed to be flying by 20, is still not operational. Supposedly going to launch by the end of this year, but I have doubts. Well, NASA has a program to award small contracts, launch contracts, with launch companies launching satellites that are of what you could say low value. They're the kind of things that they can take greater risks launching. If they lose the satellite, it's not as much of a disaster. And so this program, they've now awarded a contract to Blue Origin for a New Glenn launch. This would put a pair of small sat CubeSats in Mars orbit. Now, once again, this is a case of NASA trying to help launch companies with contracts. It's a fixed-price contract, but it has no deadline for Blue Origin. So New Glenn could launch this next year, the year after, or 5 years hence, depending on when they can finally get a rocket off the ground. It contrasts the two companies quite starkly, John.
Bezos is Blue Origin. Bezos is also Amazon. Amazon has a plan to match Starlink's constellation with its own satellites, 3,000 satellites. However, what are they going to launch on, Bob, and by when?
Well, you see, this is an interesting situation. This is further contrast between SpaceX and Amazon, and not just Amazon, but any Bezos company. Amazon is the company that's going to launch the Kuiper constellation. It's gotten now FCC approval to launch the first 3,000 satellites. They have to get 1,600 of them up by 26. The Kuiper constellation was they started development of that the same time as SpaceX started the development of Starlink. Starlink has 3,000 plus satellites in orbit already. Amazon is about to launch its first two prototypes on the very first launch of the Vulcan rocket, hopefully by the end of March. Probably not. Probably in May. So they're way behind. But they have gotten an FCC, a license to launch the first 3,000 satellites. This is also a case of the FCC doing its power grab where it has no regulatory authority or legal basis for doing so. The license includes significant de-orbit requirements by the FCC on Amazon. When the satellites come down, how many reports they have to make. None of this does FCC have regulatory or statutory authority to do, but this is a power game now. Our Congress is too weak, divided, and corrupt to defend its legal powers. So instead, we are now ruled by bureaucrats, John.
And we go from the Washington establishment to private space. Relativity's Terran 1. What is that, Bob?
relativity is that one of the new small sat rocket companies that wants to become a bigger rocket company, you know, competing with SpaceX. But its first rocket, Terran 1, is to do small sats, much smaller satellites. But they've got that. That rocket is 3D printed. They pride themselves on being a 3D printing company where they, almost everything is 3D printed. That rocket is now on the launch pad, ready for final tests prior to its first launch. They had it on the launch pad at the turn of the year. They were hoping to do the first launch before the end of 22. They were doing static fire tests. They must have decided, well, let's not rush things. And so they've now got it back on the launch pad. They'll probably do the final static fire tests. And actually, what I've heard, they want to try to get it launched by the end of this month. If that succeeds, their eventual plans in 24 is to launch their Terran R rocket, which would be comparable in size to the Falcon 9, and it would be entirely reusable, they claim, including the second stage.
India is big space, and they've had a success. Where?
India, ISRO, its government agency, finally successfully launched its SSLV rocket. That stands for Small Sat Launch Vehicle. This was the second time they tried to launch it. The first launch attempt in August failed. This launch was a complete success. It put three CubeSats into orbit. The design of this, this rocket is to compete with companies like Relativity and other small sat companies like, Rocket Lab, putting up small satellites cheaply. They had a corner on the market back in 20, but then ISRO panicked and India panicked over the Wuhan and shut down for 3 years. And while they shut down, companies like Rocket Lab and Relativity and a bunch of others continued to launch. And so they're going to have to fight to get some business from this, but they now have successfully launched it, John.
What is a throttable version of mainstay engine?
ISRO, this is once again India, it has an engine it calls Vikas, and Vikas has been used on its PSLV rocket and its GSLV rockets for years, and they use it on both, on the GSLV on both the first and upper stages, and it's basically one of their standard engines they use on their rockets, but what it hasn't been, they haven't been able to do with it is throttle it. That means you can change the amount of power it's putting out. Instead of being at 100% all the time, sometimes you can throttle down. And this is very important for doing a bunch of different things. For one, it makes it possible to do vertical landings. For another, it makes it possible to better control the takeoff through the thicker atmosphere. You can throttle down through the thick spots of the atmosphere and take less risks. And third, it allows you more abilities to put satellites into the orbits they want, because you can change not only the turn on engine on and off, but you can change the amount of power it has, so it gives you much more flexibility. Well, they've now tested a version of Vickers that they can throttle, and it was a success. They fired it for 43 seconds at 67% power, and it worked. And so they are hopeful to be able to start installing this new version of Vickers in their various rockets, and they will do tests on vertical landing using it.
This is a cute idea, Bob, but I'm not sure what it's for. A CubeSat launches a sail and unfurls a 10 by 10 centimeter sail in space. To what end? What's it for?
Yeah, this is a European Space Agency technological test, proof of concept experiment that they successfully did just this past week or so. It's a CubeSat, and the whole idea of it was that it would unfurl the solar sail, and then the sail would be used to slow the orbit of the CubeSat down so that it would be deorbited more quickly. This is to get rid of space junk. When you have a defunct satellite, you can use the sail to get out of orbit. And it was operated by an Italian company that specializes in a variety of orbital maneuvers, tugs, and so forth, called Deorbit. You might remember that company's name. They have tugs up in orbit right now. This is though a typical government project. It's a proof of concept project where they spent lots of money doing a test flight and have absolutely no plans for using the technology. They've shut the program down. They're done. They've now tested it. It worked. What we do. I suspect some small sat companies might adopt this technology, but not so much to deorbit the CubeSats, because most CubeSats are in orbit. They come down quickly anyway. I think they'll mostly maybe adopt it to use solar sails for the purposes of maybe maneuvering up into different orbits. But that was that result. And once again, ESA proves once again government doesn't know how to do things to make it useful.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. It's Happy Birthday, Bob Zimmerman. Your subscriptions, donations, most welcome. We're headed to Mars. I'm John Bashan.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.